Meryl.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We will begin, and we'll begin with the Lishan Yichud, and then we're going to do a quick review of the energy of the letters before we start the new ones, because it's been 2 weeks since we've really talked about the letters. Lishan Yichud Kud Shabari Hu Liakda Lishem Yudhe Bavavhe Yehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasot Torah Mitzvah Vahino Amadunai Elohino Elena Masei Adenu Kananei Elena Masei Adenu Kananei. First letter of the Aleph Bet is?
Aleph.
And the meaning of the energy of the Aleph?
Fire, water.
Yes, but the first energy, the essence of the Aleph?
One.
Oneness. One. Unity. Bet. First letter of the Bet? Oh. Or the first energy of the Bet?
House.
House. Correct. The next letter we studied was the Mem. The essence of the Mem? Water, correct. The Resh?
Head.
Head, correct. The Hay?
World.
It could be, but there's potential for two worlds, isn't there? There's a world of our physical world and the world of our spiritual world. Well, and the letter He represents both. If it's the upper He in Hashem's name, it's the spiritual world. It's Bina. It's understanding. It's intellect. If it's the lower level, it's Malchut, the manifestation, the kingdom, physicality. The letter Ayin.
Wisdom.
Yes, but before wisdom, it is on a physical level. What does it represent?
Eye.
The eye, correct. And we did go through the Tzadi as well. The Tzadi has the energy of?
We didn't do the Tzadik.
Well, that's where we're starting.
Say it again.
I haven't said it because we're going to go through the process. So let's start with the actually, if we did do the Tzadi, but just from the standpoint of the shape. But we'll do it in a little bit. We did do the Dalet, though, didn't we? What's the energy of the Dalet?
Doorway.
Correct. But what does a door do?
Open and close.
The Lamed? Learning is correct. The Lamed, the word Lamed means teacher. What's special about the Lamed? It goes above the line. The Gimel? That's everybody's favorite. The energy of the Gimel is?
Can't read my own writing.
That's because it's an animal.
Camel.
Camel, correct. But what is the energy of a camel? It stores water. It crosses great distances in the desert. those are the unique aspects of the camel, correct? So always remember, if you're being given a physical explanation, you need to search, go deeper for the spiritual. It stores water. What is water? Sure. It's what is water? What's the energy of water? Chesed, loving kindness, doing good deeds. And do you store your good deeds? I gave tzedakah today. I gave money away. Do I still have that money? I gave the physical away, but I earned the spiritual. The letter Vav.
Teshuvah?
No. The letter Vav is a hook. It's connecting. Exactly. It connects two things.
And
is the way it's translated. If it's at the first letter in a word, it means it's and. If it's in the middle of the word, it's connecting to parts of the word. The essence of the and is connection. In Hashem's name, what is the and connecting? What is the Bav connecting? The two Hays. And what do the two Hays represent?
The
upper spiritual, lower physical. So the Bav is connecting the intellect, the higher level, with the lower level, the physical. But did we do the top? I don't think we did the top.
No.
So that's where we're going to start today. Any questions before we begin?
Where is it?
The last letter of the alphabet.
Oh.
The Hebrew letter Tav is the 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is a letter that makes the sound of T. The numerical value of a Tav is 400. It may have a dagesh or not. The sound is the same in modern Hebrew. Except it's not. Just ask Trudy, what's the sound of the Tav? It's an S sound. Shabbos and Shabbat. How do you spell Shabbat? Shin, Bet, Tav. And here's the differentiation. The Ashkenazis have always pronounced the Tav with an S sound. Why? Where do the Ashkenazis begin? They begin after the expulsion from Spain in 1492. There were groups, most of the people, they either went to the New World after Columbus, or they went to Israel, and in North Africa, they went into the Muslim Empire, or what became the Muslim Empire, or what is the Muslim Empire, or they converted and stayed where they were, or they pretended to convert and stayed where they were. But there was a few families that went to northern France. those families became the Ashkenazi communities. They traveled across Northern Europe and ultimately into Poland, and they grew to be quite large. Polish Jews before the war were 3 million people. The reason that the Ashkenazis have so many recessive diseases, based on recessive genes, Tay-Sachs is just one, is because they started with such a small minority of potential chromosomes. There were only about five families who went to northern France. They sent to Israel, they sent to other places. They, remember, we're dealing with arranged marriages. And five families, not necessarily cousins. They're just that they're distant cousins, third, fourth, fifth cousins. But it's that all of that intermarriage created the recessive populations. But we're talking about the sound. The sound of the Tav is an S in the Ashkenazi world. Why? Because the French language is sibilant. It's very melodic. It's not guttural like the Yiddish or the German or the... And it's a Romance language, and all of that led to the understanding. The Tav has two sounds, with a dagesh and without a dagesh. The dagesh is the dot in the middle of the letter.
Yes.
Yes. Correct.
Somehow, you have that Ashkenazi pronounces the S from G sound, that it went back to the middle of Spain. And somewhere along the line, there's King Adelis. And so everybody had to speak the way he did.
I have not heard that. I would not disagree with it, because it's also just as plausible as what I said, the influence of the community around them caused them to change the sounds. Or the Romance, all of those possibilities exist. And we have a phrase in the Talmud, we'll leave it until Eliyahu teaches us. And what is it really saying? At the resurrection of the dead, we'll ask the guy who started the S sound. Because he will arise. He will be there. We can ask. All of these questions will be answered. But you have 1,000 years to ask the questions.
Oh, by the way. Also,
go ahead.
When I was in graduate school, I had a student who was an Italian descent. He came across a book that I think was contemporary times, so like it was a contemporary book of the 1970s. And the thesis was that Christopher Columbus was not Spanish nor Italian. He was Jewish.
His grandfather was Jewish.
And that he didn't take a priest with him on his first journey. He took a Hebrew translator because
he was expecting the language to be Hebrew. That I don't know. His grandfather was Jewish. Much of his letter writing, asking for funding for the trip, while he was still in Italy. Much of that was, there's a very common practice in the Middle Ages. It's still valid today in the Orthodox community. You start all correspondence with a little bet, hey, written at the top of the letter, usually in the right side of the letter, which is where Hebrew starts. And the bet hey, in those days, they would, to avoid confronting any of the Catholics with the church, they would make a design of that bet hey. But it stands for Baruch Hashem. And today, an Orthodox person will start their emails with the bet hey at the top right corner. Continuing with the information of the Tav. The Tav is spelled in the lower right corner. It's not spelled Tav Bet as you would think. It's Tav Vav. Or as I say, Tav Wav. But if it was a wav, it should be pronounced a tav. And that's not the way it's named. It is a tav, which indicates that the letter vav has the W sound, but only at the beginning of the word. In the middle of a word or the end of the word, it's pronounced as a V. Again, the vav has the a dagesh possibility. It has two sounds, that of the V and that of the W. A VW, just like the Germans want it to be. Continuing with the back to the Vav. The 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Tav, and it has a numerical value of 400. Now, since the Tav is the last letter, how do I express gematria of 500? Of letters that total to 500. Tav Kuf is correct, is the way it would be done. We're in the year 5780. How do I express 780? 700 is Tav Shin, 400 plus 300. But we also have the final letter forms, and there are five of them. And if you count five, you can have a 500 can be the Kasofit. 600 is the Memsofit. 800 is the Pesofit. I missed one. 600 is the Memsofit. 700 is the Nunsofit. 800 is the Kasofit. 900 is the Saditsot. So feet. And how do I create 1,000? With an aleph. An aleph can either be 1 or 1,000. And in the Bible, in the Torah, no number is expressed greater than 10,000. If you want to express a number greater than 10,000, you express it as multiples of 10,000. There's no 100,000 number. It's 10 ten-thousandths. There's no millions. It's 100 ten-thousandths. That's an aside from the letter Tav, but it's, and over time we will reconnect and reinforce that teaching. So how do we write the Tav? And please look at the shape of the Tav now. The important part of the Tav.
Resh.
But the top part looks like a resh, correct. But the important part is the foot going out to the left. Because the energy of the Tav is the end. It does look like a nun, and it is a nun. The line going out to the left, the essence of the Tav is the end because it's the last letter of the alphabet. But the end leads you to the beginning. And that's what the foot going out to the left is telling us. Whenever you reach the end, there's another beginning. Now, is that an optimist, a realist, or a pessimist? It's a rhetorical question.
I can't see the last letter of Deuteronomy.
No, the last letter of Deuteronomy is the Lamed. It's the word Israel. The first letter is the Bet of the Torah. The last letter is the Lamed. Put them in reverse order. Lamed Bet spells heart. The heart of Hashem is the Torah. There are two other letters that could be easily confused with the Tav. There is a memory clue to help you remember the shape and sound of a Tav. Look at the toe. I call it the foot. He's calling it the toe. The toe will remind you of both the shape and the sound of the Tav. If the letter doesn't have a toe, it's not a Tav. So it's a mnemonic to remember. The sound is the T, but it has to have the toe. You make the Tav in two movements of your writing. Top left, like the Resh. It can be a curved corner, curved right corner, which is the Resh, as Trudy mentioned earlier. The second one starts slightly indented from the beginning of the upper line. But it comes straight down and then across to the left. There are two strokes to make the Tav. When the scribe writes the Tav, he writes a resh and a nun, upside down nun, upside down and backwards. And the block letter Tav is using the two strokes as opposed to the Tav that's in the Torah, the Asherit script. Asherit means Syrian. But this was the script that the Torah adopts. The first stroke starts at the top left, goes across to the top right, and then down to the bottom right. You will use this stroke again in other letters, and watch for it. We've already seen it in the resh, the way we make the resh. The second stroke makes a leg on the left side of the letter with a definite toe at the bottom of the leg. But it's important to notice you don't start right at the end. It's inside a short distance. If you're following me on the conference call, I'm on slide 87 going to 88. No, I'm not going to 88 because it's a different letter, but I will eventually. Let's finish the discussion of the Tav. The energy of the Tav is, and as I said, why? Because it's the last letter. But does life have a beginning and does life have an end? Or is life a circle? Or is life a curved line? Or a spiral? Or a helix? Typically, we think in terms of the physical world, life is a line. It has a beginning and it has an end. The beginning is when you're born. The end is when you die. But in between those two points, there are many different shapes that the line makes. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down, sometimes it's backwards, sometimes it's forwards. 3 steps forward, 5 steps back, 2 steps forward, 1 step back. That's life. But is that a complete life? The answer is no. Because reincarnation is a truth within Judaism. What do we say life is? It's a circle of life. What is the circle of life? What is a circle? A line that curves back on itself. The Tav is an end. Does that mean it's a line? But it has the foot going out to the left showing a new beginning. Does that mean it's a circle? What letter comes after the Tav? Aleph, correct. The alphabet, our lives, everything is a circle.
That could be the beginning of the circle.
And it can be the beginning. Told out last week's parasha.
Talit.
But we have another letter that sounds like a T, don't we? The tent. Why do you think God has created two sounds that are the same?
Where's the tent?
The ninth letter.
Oh.
And the tent is clear. What does it look like? A line and a circle. A line and a curve. In Kabbalah, there is a major discussion. And is life a circle or is life an end? Is life a circle or is life a line? Line and circle are the way the Sephirot are referred to. The intellect, the upper 3 Sephirot, are referred to as a circle. The lower 7 is referred to as a line. what was required for the lower seven to come into existence? The Tzimtzum. God had to withdraw into himself. He withdraws into himself, and that's what leaves the space for the lion. The way the Tzimtzum is described is everything is a circle. God is everywhere, totally involved in that circle. And then he withdraws from this middle, around the middle. He creates a circle within the circle. But then he comes back into the, unquote, empty circle, the middle, with a line. But how does he progress from the outer edge of the circle to the middle of the circle? Step by step, he comes into chesed, and then he fills all of chesed as a circle. The circle is still there. It's in potential. We can't see it. It's empty. But it's never empty of God, as we know. But how does he progress from chesed to gevurah? Takes a step down of the line, and then he fills the circle that is gevurah. Imagine standing on a seashore, and as a little boy, we love to throw stones and skip across the water, right? I think even little girls sometimes do it. And what happens? You throw the stone, it skips once, it skips twice, it skips as many times as you could get it out there. But eventually it pops into the water. When it drops into the water, what happens? You get ripples. And where do those ripples go? And what do those ripples look like? If I was looking down on the ripples, I would see circles, wouldn't I? What's the biggest circle? The one right by my feet where I'm throwing it, right at the edge of the water. That's the biggest circle. When I'm throwing the stone, I'm crossing over the potential circles, but they don't get revealed until the stone drops into the water. This is the concept of potential versus actual. Actual is in the physical world. I can only perceive the actual in the physical world, but all of the potential is always there. All the different potentials is always there. What do I want to perceive? Is the glass half full, or is the glass half empty, or is the glass half? How do you decide?
On the situation.
I'll tell you, it depends on your hormones.
Determine your personality.
Your personality is determined by your genes, by your DNA. Many people will not accept that. But how do you explain a child that is angry when the two parents are loving? And you can see it, the first cry that the kid makes. It's loud, it's aggravating, all of the rest of it. Personality is defined by the genes, by the DNA. Characteristics are learned. And characteristics are potential. Depends on the way your life goes. Can you change characteristics? Midot is the Hebrew word. The answer is yes. That's what Musar is all about. That's what Kabbalah helps you learn. Can you change your personality? The answer is yes, but it's much more difficult.
You know the story of the identical twins?
Mm-hmm. Louder, please. The identical twins?
The identical twin boys or girls. One was always happy and optimistic. The other one was always sad and looking at the negative. So they take the twins to the child psychologist. And so the child psychologist puts each twin in a separate room while he talks to the parents. And then they come back to look in each room. So the pessimistic child was sitting in a room full of toys and games and everything. But he was just sitting there, doing absolutely nothing. And so they go in and they say, well, what's the matter? Why aren't you doing anything? Oh, there's nothing to do. So they go into the other room where the optimistic boy is, and all that's there is a pile of manure, except manure is flying all over the place. And they say, what's going on? And the little boy says, well, I knew with all of this manure there was a pony somewhere.
Let's go find our pony. So were you clear what the energy of the Taf is for next week when I test you on it?
The end.
The end that creates the beginning. The end that is a circle. Yesterday in our Jewish history class, we asked the question, what's the opposite of love? If you have a line, the opposite of love is hate, as Sheila said yesterday, and I disagreed with her. I said the opposite of love is indifference. I didn't use that word. That's the word I usually use. Indifference. You don't have a feeling one way or the other, and you don't really care to have a feeling. Love and hate are right next to each other on the circle. But at opposite, they're at opposite ends of the line. And if you contemplate that distinction, you're going to come to a very different understanding of your worldview. The next letter is the Shin. The Hebrew letter Shin, or Shin, is the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is a letter that makes the sound of sh, sh. Doesn't make an s. Depending on the dot, which side the dot is, it's either going to be an s or a sh or an s. If the dot is located over the left branch of the letter, it will be pronounced S as named Sin or Sheen or Seen. Why does the Shin have two different sounds? It's hard to say certain letters with an S sound.
I was thinking
something hard. No, because it can be. It's just, as a practical matter, it depends on the letters that come after this, the Sin or the Shin. So that it's, because it's hard What is a lisp? A child has a lisp. They're mispronouncing the S sound. They can't form the S. Where does the S get formed in the mouth? It's the tongue. If I say shh, it's my tongue is in up next to the teeth. If I say shh, it's flat. One of the ways to substitute letters is by which part of the mouth does a letter come from? A dalad, da, and a ta come from the same part of the mouth. A bet, and a zion come from the same part of the mouth. An aleph and an ayin come from the same part of the mouth because they don't have sounds. But whatever part of the mouth a letter comes from, and there are five parts of the mouth, the throat, the roof of the mouth, the teeth, the tongue, and the lips. I think that's five, isn't it? Yeah. You get confused over which part of the mouth each letter comes from. That's why I haven't taught it. But when it comes to letter substitutions, it's very important.
Substitutions like that's the word?
No, to change the word.
Okay.
To recognize the word is the physical. The substitutions are all included in the physical, but they're in potential. When you read a word, Chanoch, Chet Nun Vav Kaf. The Chet is the first letter. Chet is spelled Chet Tet Aleph. So when you see a Chet, if there's a Taf, a Tet, and an Aleph there as well, but you don't see them, they're in potential. They're in concealment. Now, every letter that starts with a chet, every word that starts with a chet, also has all of the potential words that start with a tet, and all of the potential words that start with aleph. All of those words, the energies of those words, are potentially within the word that starts with a chet. What is physical and what is spiritual? What is physical and what is potential? What is actual and what is potential? There are 70 explanations of every word in the Torah, every letter in the Torah. You just had explained what 22 of them are. And if you have two letters that spell the letter, it's 44 of them. I'm just giving you hints. You need to contemplate what I said. Keep continuing. The 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the Shin. It has a numerical value of 300. The Shin has a sound of sh, or if the dot is over the left side of the letter, its sound is S, as in the name is seen. It is the same letter whenever the dot is located. In the Torah, there are no dots. So how do you pronounce the letter that you see? Is it a sin or a shin? There's no dots. You don't know. But which is the way, easier way to pronounce the word? And is it possible that there's a Hebrew word that is spelled exactly the same, but is a, one way it's pronounced is with the shin, and another way it's pronounced with the S, and it has two different meanings? I've never come across it, but doesn't mean it's not possible. Look at the way the word is spelled. Shin, Yud, Nun. Now, if I spell it Sin, Yud, Nun, is it the same spelling out? Yes. Only thing that's changing is the pronunciation, and it has to do with the difficulty of forming the tongue. The child who has a lisp that they send to the expert to help them learn how to form their tongue, and they give them exercises to learn how to speak more clearly because people don't understand what they're saying. How do you write the letter shin? The block letter is made using two or three strokes, then with a dot above either the right or left branch. How would you make it with two strokes for the
down across the bottom up to the top?
Correct. That would be one stroke. And the second stroke would be in the middle between the two ends. And then you put a dot either over the left or over the right. But there is another way to make the shin. Well, let's first continue the lesson that's
is the way you write a letter, and this is a sample of words, two strokes, three strokes have a spiritual significance?
Sure. Is there a spiritual significance to a left-handed person versus a right-handed person? Probably. What is the essence of a human being? Essence of a human being is a desire to receive. A human being is one. Oneness is the Aleph. Human being has two arms, meaning it has the energy of separation. The human being has three lower appendages, two legs and a male organ, or two legs and a vagina. What is the third thing? It's creating wholeness again. One plus two is three. Unity plus separation forms a complete structure. A chair that has three legs that will still stand upright. Take away one of the legs, it falls down. Put it on one leg, one, it can stand on one, if it's broad enough, wide enough. But two legs will never support a chair. Three legs will support a chair. But is it more stable with four legs? They don't have to be the same length. Just means that you're going to rock back and forth. They'll still be supported. So you form the shin with two strokes or with three strokes. Yet go to slide 93. What does it look like? It looks like three valves. Do you see three valves there? But also, have you seen a shin that all three lines come into a point at the bottom, not a line? He doesn't show it. But if you look in the Torah, if you look in the Siddur, if you pull out your Siddur, you can find shins where it starts with a dot at the bottom and the three lines come out at angles from each other. These are all block letters. They're not written. But in the scroll of the Torah, certain scribes, and it's authorized, start with a dot at the bottom. They go up to the left, they go up to the right, and they have the third line, the center line, comes out of that dot as well. But essentially, the shin is three valves. What is the essence of the shin?
Fire,
correct. The essence of the shin is fire. Why are there two sounds? Sh and s. If you've ever watched a fireplace, the sounds that come out of that fire have those two sounds. Sh. It sizzles. Two different sounds. And that's why you have the two sounds in the letter itself. The essence of the shin is fire. But when you think of the shin as being three vavs, the vav has a gematria of 6. 3 times 6 is 18. What is 18? What's the number 18 mean?
Chai,
life. Is fire life?
Destruction.
It can be destruction. But what is your life like without passion?
Bland.
Is it worth living? We are complete for today unless you have questions. It's also almost five. I think 2 or 3 minutes left. Five.
How long is it?
I'll find you another one.
Okay.
Any other questions? Any on the conference call? Have a beautiful day on the conference call and have a beautiful day in the class.